I said no, all right?
I'm telling you, cuz, she's really good. She's in her second year of grad school for child psychology.
Who is?
Cousin Vanessa. She wants to help out with Anthony.
No offense, but if we were going to get a pro, we could do better than Marissa Tomei Jr.
You know, I am offended. I'm going to make you eat those words. Hey, Ness! Nessa!
Louie.
Come here. Hey, sis. Tell him what you told me about Ant.
Well, I mean, I can't say for sure what his deal is.
Okay, well, that's too bad.
But my educated guess would be that he has environmentally induced disruptive mood dysregulation disorder, possibly related to a screen dependency, or full-blown IGD. Regardless, I'd want to look at the diagnostic and statistical manual. It's an evolving science.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
This is House Podcastica Cobra Kai Edition.
This week we're covering Cobra Kai Season 4, Episodes 7 and 8, Minefields and Party Time.
Party
Time. P-A-R-T-Y? Because I gotta.
Because I gotta.
It is party time. It's a good day because today's the day that we get to watch the rest of the series, and we won't have to know what's going to happen.
Happy day. Yeah.
Okay. Cobra Kai, Season 4, Episodes 7 and 8, Minefields and Party Time. What did you guys think?
I think there were some really great moments in these episodes. I was hoping for a little bit more. I don't know, maybe you guys will... I didn't dislike the episodes by any means, but I was a little underwhelmed, I think. They were not my two favorites, I think, of what I've seen of the series so far. Still a lot of good stuff that happened, though.
I'm with you. I'm like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of a bit of a shit show, if I'm honest. I mean, everybody was like unhinged, you know? They kind of like... It was chaos in the valley, you know. I don't know. I was kind of hoping that everything was going so well and they were really working up to it and, you know, the tournament. And then all of a sudden now it's just like, ah, crap, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
Kind of like, it felt like it went off the rails a little bit, you know. They were doing a pretty good job of keeping a straight line.
So is that a negative to you?
Yeah. I mean, at first I was like, these two episodes really aren't my favorite. But then after I was, you know, started taking notes and diving a little deeper into it, I kind of got into the whole predictions part of it. You know, I was like, oh, okay, what's going to happen next then? What's going to happen with us? You know, what's going to do that? And then I got excited.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. My second watch, I warmed up to it a little bit more than I did my first time around. I didn't hate them by any means. They're still super fun. A lot of great lines, great emotional moments, just slightly underwhelming for me leading up into the, you know, last two episodes.
That's a good word.
Too.
Yeah.
Underwhelming.
I thought they were pretty great. I mean, not the best of the season, but good, just as good as anything, in my opinion. I really, really enjoyed both of them. There were some great moments. Unfortunately, we got Stingray back, who's my least favorite character, probably. But at least Terry Silver kicked the crap out of him, so that was good. No, I'm just kidding. That was pretty brutal.
That was pretty brutal.
Probably the most brutal thing we've seen in the series, maybe. But anyway, aside from Stingray coming back, I liked it. I liked the dance and I liked the stuff with Terry Silver, even though it was hard to kind of figure out what was going on there, but I think I might've figured it out. In fact, if you don't mind, I'm going to go first this week. Is that cool? Do you guys?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. So my number one is finding your opponent's weaknesses and getting in their heads, which I'm about to do to both of you. No, I'm just kidding. As a demonstration.
Click.
Bring it on. I ain't got no weaknesses.
Let me think about that. Just kidding. Okay, so Terry Silver is teaching the Cobra Kai kids to look for weaknesses and get in their opponent's head, which makes sense because he's a calculating kind of guy, and he observes his opponent and tailors his strategy to what he finds there. And he says, what your opponent is thinking is key in war, in business, in a fight. Those are all the arenas we know he's operated in, and it makes sense that he kind of has a similar strategy He says, don't let them think whatever they want. Make them think what you want them to think. If they think you're weak, that's when you can surprise them with your strength, which is kind of close to what he did in Karate Kid 3 with Daniel. Made him think he was meek anyways, and then surprised him. So one example of that was Robbie and Tori going to the dance. They're not even saying they're going because they want to go with each other. They're saying it's a way to implement this strategy, get inside Sam and Miguel's head. And it totally worked.
Off balance. Yeah.
Yeah. And they made this amazing entrance. I think I liked the dance and I liked them together. And I thought they looked so great together. I just keep thinking how much he looks like a young Val Kilmer. That hair.
They were a cute couple.
They make a good couple.
Yeah, she looked like a classic Hollywood starlet. And Sam and Miguel were all shaken up and couldn't stop looking at them. I'm like, God, just ignore them, you guys. Like, maybe the fact that you both care does say something about your relationship. And during the pool fight, Sam said to Robbie, you think I broke your heart? Well, you broke mine too. I'm like, oh, I guess you're hung up on him still. And Miguel says, tonight was supposed to be for you and me. You ruined it. So, yeah. But then again, he was looking at Tori too.
He was definitely ogling at Tori. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like all shaken up by it. And then I loved the pool party fight started with the two girls, and then it's the dance partners going at each other. That's pretty funny.
That was something I couldn't get into. I was just like, been there, done that, seen it.
Seen it all.
Yeah, and the whole idea of doing a dance move as they were doing karate. I was like, oh, I don't know. Are they into this? What are they doing? I didn't really.
Yeah, and then they get in the pool and they're laughing and stuff.
Well, and they're laughing and they're fun. I was like, ha, ha, ha.
Robbie and Tori, because they're in a good mood tonight. Like, they can see that their approach has worked. Plus, they've kind of realized that they like each other. So I really thought all that was pretty great. So yeah, they really succeeded in fucking up the fucking with those two's heads. Anthony, now Kenny, I this maybe doesn't quite nail it, but Anthony has decided, okay, I'm going to go tell Kenny I'm sorry, I would like to start over. And I'm like, yeah, if you'd said that before Cobra Kai got their hands on Kenny, things might be fine, but now I've got nothing to say to you, La Puso, because it's soap opera. But anyway, then Kenny suddenly becomes like this horror villain in the library.
Right.
Yeah.
It turned into Rambo.
Right.
Taking them down one at a time.
Tapping them in the dark and whispering, La Puso. So I guess that's supposed to be him trying to get into their heads. I don't know. It was a bit over the top, but it was all right.
Well, he's not even fighting them in the tournament. So they're just, he's just getting them payback.
Yeah, I actually liked that scene. I was kind of rooting for Kenny. I was like, yeah, get La Puso.
I mean, yeah, like at first when he said that, like, hey, this guy's coming and trying to tell you he's sorry and you're calling him that. Aren't you kind of poking the bear there? But on the other hand, they've really just been giving it to him every day.
Yeah.
Taking his clothes and all that. But really, the main part of this is, I think, actually, you know, this is about getting into your opponent's head. I think Kreese got into Terry Silver's head.
Because, oh my God, did he ever?
That was terrible.
When he beat the shit out of Stingray with the patented aggressive Terry Silver piano music in the background and everything, I thought, okay, like after seeing him more reasonable and temperate all season, I need to go back and see if I can figure out how he got to this place. Is it just inconsistent writing or what? Well, it started with a couple episodes ago where Terry's like, let me set the tone here, how we're going to teach the class. So he kind of like took control. Kreese doesn't like that. Here he's telling the Cobra Kai students that Kreese has a weakness. He doesn't like that. Then he wins the little bet they have about whose fighters are going to win, and he wins beers. So he's just showing up Kreese all over the place. So finally Kreese has had enough, and he asks him what he thinks. You know, you said I have a weakness. What is it? Terry Silver wouldn't say, but I'm sure he has something in mind, and I hope we get to find out what he thinks it is. That'd be cool.
His weakness is he thinks he has no weaknesses.
I can tell you what it is.
What is it?
It's Johnny.
No, oh,
yeah.
Johnny.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
He did seem to care for him a little bit there. Huh?
He made him stop.
Yeah. He found his weakness.
Hasn't come to fruition yet. And I think by that time, Silver's too spun out to take advantage of that. If he realized it, maybe he will. But yeah, I think you have a good point there. But Kreese tells the story of their army buddy who broke ranks and took point and then blew himself up in a minefield. And you can see Terry Silver's face just go cold. Like, I'd rather not think about that or whatever he said.
Yeah.
And then he reminds him of how he saved his life when they were trapped in that cage and Terry Silver had fallen apart. I think, on the surface, he's just telling Terry Silver, you need to follow my lead. Don't be going point. Or there's minefields, there's mines out there. But what are the metaphorical mines that Terry Silver needs to be afraid of? There's nothing for him to be afraid of. What is Kreese going to do? Fire him? Who cares? He didn't even want to do the job in the first place. I think right. The real point of all that is he's reminding him of these things that Terry Silver has PTSD over. You know, he's right. Bringing it right up to the surface. And that's all tied in with Terry feeling like he owes Kreese his life. And that's like the craziness of Karate Kid 3, that this billionaire would stop everything with his businesses for 2 weeks just to devote all his time and money and energy to torturing a young kid and an old man because he will do anything for Kreese. At the time, it seemed like really, but now that they've actually shown the incident where he saved his life, and I think that's what it was. He just triggered some PTSD in Terry Silver, and now he's really focused on the loyalty after that moment that he has. I think there's an unhealthy codependence between the two of these guys, but now he's like he brings Johnny to the old Cobra Kai dojo and kicks him in the face. And Kreese says, you got him to come here. I had to prove my loyalty. He brings up loyalty a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then he rationalizes, so much for avoiding drama and focusing on the tournament. But he rationalizes that when Johnny's champion Miguel sees him beaten to a pulp, it'll throw him off balance. And he goes, just like your lesson. Unlike him, pointing at Johnny, I actually heed your lessons because Kreese had told Cobra Kai, you're going to learn how to get inside their heads and throw them off balance. Which is, I think, what Kreese did to him, actually. But at the beginning of this series, Terry Silver didn't even want to see Kreese when Kreese came over to his house.
This is why.
Yeah,
this is why. Because
this is why.
He gets in your head.
Yeah, he does.
So I guess it's just that, and now, now Kreese is saying, we agreed to settle this at the tournament, which is, it feels a bit flip-floppy, like that's what Terry Silver was saying, but Kreese has now taken charge, but taking on Terry Silver's outlook, and Terry Silver's taking on Kreese's outlook about going to the drama. It kind of switched there, but anyway, and then at the end when he beats the shit out of Stingray, he's drinking for one thing, but he's also stewing on, you said I'm questioning you, no mercy, bullshit, I proved my loyalty. He's like, I proved my loyalty, damn it. That's what he's really focused on. And then Stingray comes in and he remembers that Kreese told Stingray to leave, so he's going to prove his loyalty again and say, get the fuck out of here and beat the shit out of him. So, that's the best I can make of what's going on with Terry Silver. I don't know what you guys think.
I had some similar ideas like that. I wrote it down more as they have this continuing military theme, going on with Cobra Kai. In addition to, Terry Silver going back into crazy form, no cocaine needed, just a mind fucked from Kreese. That's all really needed is to push him over the edge, right? Yeah, I'm attracted to the solidarity of the Cobra Kai dojo. Kreese and Silver, they present a united front, even though there's friction on who should be in charge there. And the students are well trained and disciplined because of it, I've always been attracted to movies and TV shows where you have people that are working together and collaborating well. And the writers and showrunners have done a good job of keeping that military theme going in that respect. It shows in the students too, like you mentioned, Robbie and Tori showed up at the prom, well aware that they're going to troll Sam and Miguel, and then they end up just having fun and ignoring Sam and Miguel at the dance and at the pool while Sam and Miguel are falling apart, The writers are always showing Cobra Kai as strong, and Miyagi-Do is kind of weak.
Well, you I want think. The good guys, quote unquote, to go into the tournament as the underdogs.
You want them to be the underdogs, exactly.
I think in this case, although they since are, it's for sure.
Since there's more seasons, the underdog may actually lose. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be surprised if Cobra Kai wins the tournament. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Cobra Kai comes out on top this season with the tournament. Honestly, I mean, they are well put together. They are very disciplined. They've got two, you know, senseis that, I mean, as far as the kids know, are working well together. You know, I mean, they haven't, you know, like at, with Johnny and Daniel, they have like visibly like kind of argued in front of the kids and broken apart instead of working together. At Cobra Kai, that's kind of kept more behind the scenes. I don't think the kids see it. Mm-hmm. So they still see a united front with the two. They right now, I think, are the stronger dojo.
Absolutely. Good. Yeah. Plus, you know, I think Kreese likes what Terry wants, well, had proposed, which is, you know, opening up branches and pretty much taking over the valley.
Oh, yeah.
But I think Kreese just wants to be in charge.
He wants to be in control, yeah.
Yeah, he wants to be in control of everybody. They want, and when he says jump, he wants them to say, "How high, sir?"
And don't give him any shit.
No back talk.
Don't point out his weaknesses.
Right. Was that your first point, Rich?
Oh, no. I was just expanding on what you were saying. Okay. Let's see. I got Johnny and Miguel. We should probably talk about them.
Yeah.
The heartfelt discussions between Johnny and Miguel. Man, they were tugging at my heartstrings, I'm telling you. The one in the dojo was great when they were sitting up. Were they sitting up in the rafters? Oh, they were sitting up high, but Johnny was struggling, you know, with making sense of the whole dad issue that he went through. And, you know, it is, may not be the best father figure, but at least he's trying and he understands, you know, what his issues are. It was totally on point, I thought, and really emotional. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the last episode, there was episode 8, when Miguel was feeling upset and insecure after the party. You know, he shows up and Johnny's on the floor wasted. He touchingly cares for Johnny, putting him in bed, and he's rewarded with, "I love you, I love you too, Robbie." And I was just like, oh, I had a little bit of tears showing up in my eye. I was like, that hurts. That hurts.
It did.
That really hurt because he said, "I just want to be a good father to you, and I, you know, I trying. I know I suck at it, but that's all I want." And he's like, "You're doing a good job, and I love you, man." And I'm like, "Oh, this is such a great scene." And then he goes, "I love you too, Robbie." And I'm like, "Oh man, you just fucked up a good scene, writers." But the point
I was
is
upset
that
with Robbie. I'm like, "Damn it, you screwed up again." Not Robbie, Johnny. Miguel. Damn it.
Oh, Johnny, yeah. I mean, Robbie had just said to Miguel at the dance, you know, he doesn't care about you. He's just feeling guilty about messing up with me, and he's trying to make himself feel better. So what Johnny just said kind of stuck that knife in even deeper, like so doubt in Robbie. And I don't think it's that simple. I think it is true that he feels bad about Robbie and is maybe trying to make up for it with Miguel, but he also cares about Miguel, too.
Yeah.
But I think Miguel's going to doubt that now. And it was interesting that Sam decided to go back to Johnny. I kind of like that, actually. Like, I'm going to learn both, damn it. And it made me wonder if Miguel would go back to Daniel. And now, especially after this with Johnny, who knows where that leaves Miguel's head at.
Yeah. Well, because we already saw he and Daniel were forming a really good bond, you know, a few episodes ago that Johnny was, you know, getting jealous of. So, yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I was waiting for Miguel to say dad. I was like, "I love you too, dad."
Aww.
I'd be like, that's what this show does, man.
Does.
Okay, Rima.
Well, that was my point too, is Miguel and Johnny in the emotional moments. You know, I thought that was a really emotional high point, that scene there where, you know, Miguel was kind of acknowledging that, you know, he knew that, and, you know, inevitably there were going to be some changes, you know, that, you know, since he found out that Johnny and his mom, you know, are dating now. And, you know, after kind of going through some bumps there, realizing how much things were changing, you know, they were changing, you know, their at class, because Johnny wouldn't let him practice, you know, with the other kids. you know, and then how things were changing for him at home too. And then they were able to finally kind of come together and have that nice little talk. And, you know, when he says, you know, what does he say? He says, it feels kind of weird to say it out loud, but I don't know. There's a lot of things that I want to stay the same, like you being my sensei.
Yeah, that was nice.
I was like, oh, and Johnny's like, yeah. And he's like, yeah. And yeah. I was like, oh, I think I teared up just a little bit there. So that was super sweet between them. And I thought, oh, I'm glad that they kind of came back together a little bit because, you know, Johnny did get his feelings hurt, you know, seeing how close Miguel and Daniel, you know, were getting with each other. And then, yeah, Rich, that moment that you talked about there, you know, Miguel, you know, finds Johnny, you know, he's drunk after, you know, Terry Silver beat the crap out of him and stuff, puts him in bed. Miguel's had a rough night, you know, it was supposed to be a good time at the prom. And, you know, him and Sam are fighting. He's, I guess, maybe having some emotion still about Tori. I don't know, because he couldn't take his eyes off of her. And so he's, it was hard. Yeah. Well, she looked great in that.
Very nice dress.
So yeah, he's had a really rough night, and then, you know, he has that nice moment again with Johnny, you know, and then when he called him Robbie, I thought, oh man, and his acting was so good. Can't think of the actor's name, but the actor that plays Miguel, he did a great job because his face, like, he just fell apart when he said, yeah, I love you too, Robbie. It was like, oh, man, that was like a...
Before that, know, too, when he thought it was... Yeah. He was talking about him. He's, like, tearing up and everything.
He was all tearing up. It was great. I thought, oh, a nice scene again. And then it was gut punch when he said that. But I thought that was great. I mean, it's so great about this show is, you know, it can make you feel so many emotions. You know, it can be so funny, it can be drama, it can have a little bit of the teen drama to it, but then these really high emotional points that, you know, really pull at your heartstrings. And at least me shedding a few tears over it, it's one thing I really like about it.
Yeah. I was also happy that we had those emotional moments because I was, you know, we were teeter-tottering, I think, Rima, about, you know, how these two episodes were overall, you know, because a lot of it dealt with Stingray and Anthony, two characters I really don't care about. And then they busted this out between Miguel and Johnny, and I was just like, oh my God, I love these characters.
Yes, at least we had that, yeah.
Right, we had that. Yeah, and let's not skip over the fact that Johnny got his ass kicked by Terry. Hello? Isn't he usually the one doing the ass kicking?
Not always. Actually, not no. He tends to get his ass kicked a lot. Well, remember that last scene in Karate Kid? In the face.
That's just one point, man. Didn't prove anything.
He's got a counter for that now.
Yeah, that's right. I like, we hadn't really seen Johnny and Daniel together after they both kicked each other in the face last time, and then Johnny and Carmen come over for dinner and they just at each other for a second.
Guess the first time they've seen each other since then. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're still friends.
They didn't say anything to each other, so that was, it was nice not to ruin the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think
they were grown-ups for just a moment.
Their relationship has had its ups and downs, but I would say even though they just had a split, they're still not as low as it has been, you know, over the course of the series and everything.
Yeah, they don't hate each other for no reason.
Yeah, they have some respect for each other now. And it was interesting, too, when Terry Silver was fighting Johnny, he said, oh, looks like LaRusso's taught you some defense. Because he was using Miyagi-Do moves. It's cool. Okay, my next one is struggling to be a good father / father figure. I am interested in the Anthony stuff. Because he's really struggling, you know, he's been a real little shithead on this show, but he's trying to be better, and he's got some total asshole friends, and he's got this screen addiction that he's battling against, you know, and Daniel, like he tells Daniel that the Cobra Kai was picking on him, which is not true. And Daniel says, it's time, go upstairs and get changed. Anthony says, for what? And he goes, just go upstairs, get changed. I'm like, well, you got to tell him what it's for. He's going to put a suit on or something. I mean, he should, from the context, realize what he's telling him, but he asked. So anyways, he does seem interested in learning karate, but he's fighting his own laziness and distractibility. He wants Wi-Fi. He hires someone else to wash the car off Jackrabbit. And it reminds me of my own kids, where too much screen time makes you impatient with things that don't give you instant gratification,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's, and so they might have good intentions, but when it's really easy to switch to something else that's more fun, they do it. And, so then Daniel says after that, Jack, you know, him hiring someone to wash the car, "I thought you were mature enough to appreciate all of this, but I guess I was wrong. Just go back to your video games." He sounds really contemptuous a couple times with Anthony, which I'm like, oh, that's not the best parenting, but I can identify with it. You know, sometimes you just get fed up. And then, but then Anthony feels bad. Like he's on a bit of a roller coaster here too. Then he starts looking at the old, you know, press clips of Daniel's, and he starts talking about Mr. Miyagi. He has enough self-awareness to be like, look, everyone always talks about him, but I didn't know him that well. And so I feel out of the loop. I was impressed with that. And it also is an interesting development for his character, given that he's felt like an outsider for a lot of the series, barely even present, like missed whole seasons. But now he's got his storyline. And I'm glad that Daniel found out that he's been bullying Kenny just to get it out there so he can deal with it. And then in comes cousin Vanessa, who was awesome, I thought. And she says, "I mean, I can't say for sure what his deal is, but my educated guess would be environmentally induced disruptive mood dysregulation disorder, possibly related to a screen dependency or full-blown IGD. And those words kind of cut like a knife for me. Then she says, "Would you say that because of your demanding work schedules and now the dojo that Anthony may have learned key life lessons from the internet rather than from you?" With COVID, my kids have been getting so much screen time, and Bodhi's 5 and he's always asking for it. And watching these episodes made me feel like we need to make a change around here, you know, because it's a serious, like I looked up IGD, it's internet gaming disorder.
Yeah. They're both disorders because they're recognized as being addictive.
Yeah, it's compulsive use of games that results in significant impairment to an individual's ability to function in various life domains over a prolonged period of time. They can be diagnosed when an individual engages in gaming activities at the cost of fulfilling daily responsibilities or pursuing other interests without regard for the negative consequence, a lack of self-control over gaming. And then I like that she called Daniel and Amanda out on it, not blaming it all on Anthony.
Yeah.
So, you know, she says they're acting out and traces the root of the problem to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, season one, when we first met Anthony, I think the only, you know, the few times we saw him, in a way, he wasn't on every episode, I think, and only in there for a minute. His face was always in the Switch. He was just always, you know, talking to his parents with his face down in like his Nintendo all the time, the few times. And then I think we just saw him maybe one time in another season. But so, yeah, I mean, they've done a good job of kind of following that same, you know, it's consistent with when we first met him. So and yeah, I've never heard of that, but I can totally see that there, you know, it could be a thing.
It's an issue. It is.
Yeah.
And now he's hiding his tablet under his pillow or whatever. Bodhi does that all the time. I go in the room and he's sitting there with this look on his face like, what? And I walk over to the bed and then he sees that I'm going to pull the blanket back and find it, right? So he goes, oh, look what's here. How did this get here? He's 5, so he has no skill in this at all. It's so funny to watch.
Where did this come from?
I think Nico put it here.
What the hell? How did this get here? That's hilarious.
So when Daniel breaks the tablet, that was intense. That was another like, God, he's so intense, but it really seemed to do the trick. Cause then Anthony's taking out the trash and saying he screwed up and did some things. And with this kid, it went too far and he feels bad about it. He heard what Daniel said. And you know, he's asking to help him out at the dealership. I mean, unless he's bullshitting, which he very well may be, because Samantha just kind of bullshitted Amanda just last week and then went and tried to terrorize Tori. But I really hope he's on the up and up because I want them to make us like Anthony. I want him to grow as a character. And I'm glad that they're being true to his character where he has that. He's always been a bit of a nudnik, so he has to overcome that. But maybe he's improving. And yeah. I mean, him ordering that guy to clean his cars is kind of like in season one. I think he ordered, was it a Switch or a drone or something over Alexa, and Daniel couldn't reverse it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He brought that up too. He's like, you have my Apple AirPay on your credit card, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. But I like him more already when I see him struggling and trying to do good versus in earlier season, he just didn't give a shit at all. It endears me to him.
That's a nice thought. Yeah. I didn't think of it that way. I thought he was more of just a plot device to expose lazy parenting on Amanda and Daniel's part. Because at some point you have to kind of address it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think when the show is at its best, it treats all the characters as fully fleshed out human beings, you know? So one character may have an impact on another character's plot, but they're still also exploring that character too.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I think so with Anthony. But, and then of course there's Johnny and Miguel as far as trying to be a good father figure. I think you guys, covered that pretty well, but I think one thing I wanted to mention is I just thought it was so funny when they were sitting there, like, Miguel's late and Johnny's like, I don't want to be a disciplinarian to him. I had my asshole stepfather. And she's like, no, just, you know, why don't we both talk to him? Okay. Carmen's like, we just want you to be safe. Right. Always wear protection. What? No, don't wear protection. You let the girl decide.
Johnny.
No, Johnny.
Beaks his mind, doesn't he?
He's really trying hard. Like, oh, yeah, it's the girl's decision. No.
And the actor, Zabka. Is that it? William Zabka?
Yeah, William Zabka.
He does a good job at that. He really does seem like he's a guy trying.
He's so good.
Zapka's good, and the Thomas Ian Griffith, who plays Silver, has been really good. So it's good to get some really good actors on here to sell all this stuff so well.
Yeah, good writing, good acting. you're drawn in to the characters for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, mine was real similar to yours. Mine was all about lazy parenting, right? That's kind of how I phrased it, because with you, like how it cut deep with you, it cuts deep with me too, because it hit a little bit too close to like what I do for a living. The disruptive mood dysregulation disorder and the internet gaming disorder. That's the talk at school by everybody, the administrators, the teachers, even the parents are getting in on it now. Because we see it on a daily basis, you know, the way we see it is that for an entire year and a half during the pandemic, during the lockdown, and the kids were on distance learning, social media platforms and gaming were their babysitters for these kids that were locked down at home, right? And now that they're back in school, we thought, well, kids are pretty resilient. They'll bounce back. They'll get back into the routine. No, it hasn't happened yet. I mean, as we progress through the year, the kids really aren't bouncing back to that, you know, to the pre-pandemic routines and behaviors that you want to see in the classroom.
Uh-oh.
It was ridiculous at the beginning of the year. There was a fight every single day. And now the fighting has mostly subsided because all those kids that were fighting have gotten suspended and or kicked out of school. But the cyberbullying and shit talking between the kids is still rampant. I mean, they'll do it right in front of you in the classroom. Wow. You know, you have to take them aside and say, look, what you're saying is exactly what YouTubers say into the camera in a room when they're by themselves. You can't say that to another person to their face. You're going to make them angry. You know, they're just all learning that what they see on social media and what they can say in real life, you know, it doesn't work. And all the teachers are unanimously blaming the internet and the gaming disorder thing, because it's just so obvious. You know, I'm not doing it justice trying to put it into words here, but when you're there in the classroom day to day grinding it out, it's just like, oh my God.
Wow.
Am I on a YouTube show right now?
It's tough.
Do you think when you think about games, YouTube and social media and just watching a TV show, do you think there's a difference in all of those? Are some worse than others, or are they about the same?
I think any type of media consumption can be dangerous when it's an addiction. And that's the problem, is that most of these kids are addicted to it now. You know, you see them for 7 hours. They're at school for 7 hours. They're getting some structure in their lives. They're getting some knowledge in their lives. They're getting some life skills in their lives. And then for the other 11 hours of their day, they're at home on the gaming platform. Everything you did that day is erased. You know, they come back to school and literally have forgotten everything we taught the day before. And it's not just an act. They really don't remember. And it's like, how do you not remember that? It was just
like their attention span, because everything's like short, like YouTube videos, TikTok, and
yeah,
you know,
the kids are so low this year that our district, I don't want to speak for other districts, but our district has lower the graduating GPA to a 1.5. Because if they didn't lower it to 1.5, half the kids wouldn't graduate.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, but I do live in a depressed area that's kind of not too high on public schools and education, you know, in the nation.
Still, gosh.
I'm sure other districts are having the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then, you know, Amanda and Daniel get called out for the bad parenting. That was a good scene. I like that. What did Amanda call her? Marissa Tomei Jr.
Yeah,
that was funny.
Did you guys know that Cousin Vanessa is Ralph Macchio's daughter in real life?
What? Is she really?
Yeah, Julia.
Julia Macchio.
Wow, that's cool.
She's 29. Yeah, so it was funny that Amanda called her Marissa Tomei Jr., you know, Marissa Tomei and my cousin Vinny and
Ralph
Macchio. Ralph Macchio.
Yeah.
She was great.
Yeah, she was a good
She was really good.
Yeah, and she called them both out for acting out instead of correcting the behavior issues. And I guess they're both hotheads, Amanda and Daniel. Even after failing the test for acting out, Amanda still like jerked towards Vanessa like she was going to kick her ass and get out of the chair.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a good little scene because that's how people get when they feel that they're being exposed, something that they don't even want to see about themselves is being seen by someone else. It's people like, you want to wriggle out of it any way you can, you know?
Yeah, we see it in our parent-teacher conferences and our IEPs and 504s. These parents come in and we're just, you know, it's just a barrage of evidence about how their kids are behaving this year. And they're like, oh my God, I didn't realize, you know.
Now we know why little Johnny acts that way.
And then by the time you have the third meeting, because the kid hasn't seen any improvement, the parents are just like, oh, we've tried everything. I don't understand. He's defying you. He's defying us. What do we do? And we're like, take his frickin' phone away.
What?
And then the parents are just like, what? You can't do that. Isn't that illegal? It's like, no.
Be a parent. With our kid and take away their stuff.
They don't even think about it.
Has anyone actually ever said, is it illegal?
No, it's just that you just get the facial expressions. It's just like, oh my God, I never thought of that.
Like they'd never thought of such a thing.
You could do that. Yeah, a lot of the parents that are of the age are millennials for these kids that we're teaching. So the millennials, they've grown up a lot on their phones too.
Well, I'm no millennial, but for me, it's like when we're home and I need to be doing podcast prep, the easiest thing to do is just say, go play games or go watch a show, you know, because they're quiet. And if they're not doing that, they're breaking something or they're yelling or they're making a mess or they're in my face. And so I need to somehow get creative of not always having screens be the go-to thing. It's so much harder because I can't focus when they're always wanting something, you know, but
yeah,
it's important enough to figure it out.
Totally.
For sure.
But like the difference is, remember when we were kids and we were doing that, being annoying and destructive, my mom would just be like, God damn it, go outside. Just kick us out of the house.
But you
literally
can't send him outside anymore.
And yeah, I know.
Mean, I watched a lot of TV. I watched 6 hours of TV a day as a kid.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now look what you do for a living. See?
I was a latchkey kid.
I turned it into a money-making operation.
I know. Totally. Yeah.
Follow your dreams, kids.
Only we had this when we were kids. Yeah. I mean, I was a latchkey kid, you know, and my mom worked evenings. You know, I went to school during the day, and then my mom worked evenings as a waitress. And so I'd come home and see her for maybe 45 minutes, and maybe sometimes an hour, depending on her shift. And then I'd be home by myself all night. And that's what I would do. You know, I wasn't really, wasn't supposed to go anywhere, but I did a lot of times. But I would sit at home and I'd watch a lot of TV. I'd have my own dinner and I'd put myself to bed. My mom would come home after I, you know, had went to bed. And I watched a lot of TV and movies. I was raised on cable and HBO. Mm-hmm.
I was the same. My mom had the swing shift too, so it was the same thing.
Mm. Yeah.
I probably would have, but we never had, my parents were too cheap to pay for cable. So we just had the three stations that you could get on rabbit ear antennas.
My mom sprung for it because I was home. She felt bad.
Yeah.
You know, because I was home and, you know, that it, she, you know, kind of helped keep me entertained and kept me home usually. So
my mom would stay at home and she just kicked us out of the house. And so.
Blame her.
Your mom, yeah, she would say exactly what was going to happen and then it would happen.
Yeah,
because she was tough.
You don't eat those vegetables.
Okay, okay. Is that it, Rich?
Yeah. When Daniel loses it, you know, you had mentioned that Daniel lost it and broke Anthony's device. Yeah, that was a pretty powerful moment because I was like, yeah.
And then finally.
Later on, you know, he's taking out the garbage, and Amanda's like, "Well, I don't know what kind of Miyagi magic you pulled.
Miyagi magic you pulled."
And I'm like, no, it's just called good parenting for once. That's all it is.
Being an authoritative parent. Hello.
I bet you, I don't know for sure, but younger people watching that were like, what an asshole.
Yeah. Probably. They're like, what are you guys talking about? Don't be dicks.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Rima?
I just short and sweet. I wanted to just kind of mention Kenny for a minute that, you know, we kind of talked about what he did there at school with, I don't even know those other kids' names, Anthony's friends. I really do not like that blonde
curly
kid,
headed
by
kid.
The way, that blonde curly headed kid.
Jerk
yeah.
one,
yeah.
jerk two.
Right. Yeah, that's good. That's good. We just call him that. So I don't know. I think it's kind of, you know, for me anyway, kind of disturbing to see him kind of lean into his aggression, you know, more and more.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't think, I mean, it, I don't know, there was
Cobra Kai.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, you know, while there was just a little bit of satisfaction, yes, whenever Kenny was beating the hell out of those kids in the library, because they, I think, I don't know, my attitude is, you know, you can only take so much when you're getting bullied, and, you know, you're going to kind of get payback, and those kids definitely deserve to have a little bit of payback. But it's kind of, you know, it wasn't really that funny. He really did hurt the kids, and, you know, something bad could have really happened. And, you know, I think he's kind of following a little, I think anyway, a similar trajectory that Hawk did early on in the show. So I don't know. I think I'd hate to see he seems like a really sweet kid. He, you know, I've really felt for him and I think he's a good kid, but he's, you know, kind of been indoctrinated under Kreese and Terry there at Cobra Kai. And I hate to kind of see him go down that same path. So I don't know. It'd be interesting to see, I think, you know, how he ends up there at the end. And
yeah, I wonder if they have a long plan for him. Maybe he'll be more involved in season two or something.
I think he might be.
I think they're all going into high school next year, right?
Yeah, those kids are the middle school kids.
Yeah,
and then what did you say, older Rich? Kids are going to be graduating, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Kenny, many episodes ago, I was predicting that Kenny was there to as a you know like a device for Robbie to see the error in his ways because he's taking this nice innocent kid and turning him into a you know strike first no mercy headhunter. And, you know, he's gonna have that moment where he's like, oh my god, what have I done?
Just like Miguel was like that too for a while.
Yep. They've all taken their turn as bullies.
Recurring theme. Yeah.
Yep.
Even Daniel in Karate Kid 3.
Yeah.
Punched that dude on the face, broke his nose or whatever.
Yeah.
My turn?
Yeah, that was all that I had. Just short and sweet.
Okay, references and callbacks. Anthony and Kenny being at odds over this girl, Leah, is a bit like Daniel and Johnny being at odds over Allie.
Hmm.
I guess it's a pretty common movie and show thing, but fighting over a girl. Anthony and his friends are playing this flinching game. Actually, it wasn't Anthony, but it was the curly-headed kid and goes, dude, you flinched. And the other guy's like, you always win this game. We need a new game. And he goes, he looks over and sees Kenny talking to Leah. Looks like everyone's doing something new. What's that from?
Karate Kid 2?
Nope.
Damn. I don't know.
I can hear
one
it.
One in three chance. Yeah. Yeah. You. I know right. You can hear it. It's Cobra Kai rolls up to the beach on their motorcycles. Tommy says, "You must be a trendsetter, Johnny. Everyone's doing something new. Take a right. Check it out." Says Daniel bopping the ball with Owie.
Embarrassed. I didn't get that.
You were close, huh? Everyone laughing at Kenny in his underwear kind of reminded me of a scene from Karate Kid. Do you know which one?
When is it the one where Daniel had the spaghetti?
Yeah.
No. Is it that when he came out of the restaurant or the country club and spaghetti all over his white? Okay.
I was trying to think of when he was naked.
Yeah, he was naked with spaghetti all over.
Right. Yeah, he lost his pants.
Just kidding.
That took a turn.
Okay, Johnny's incident at Applebee's is a recurring theme. In season
one, what was that about?
I think he got in a fight,
season one, Johnny's arguing with his father, Sid, and I think his father just bailed him out of jail or something, and he says, "I think that little incident at Applebee's would have taught you to keep your hands to yourself." Oh. And then we don't hear anything more about it. Then in season three, Johnny ends up in jail again, and the officer says, "Holy shit, Applebee's guy?" And then here, he tells Carmen, "Oh, we should go take him to, what's his favorite restaurant? Oh, Applebee's. That's not going to work. I had a little incident there once. What happened? All right, you know how they make that loaded potato soup?"
Right. I was like, what's he talking about? I want
to hear the rest of this story.
How does that get you in trouble?
I hope by the end of Cobra Kai we get the story.
Yeah. I'm sure we will, right? It has to do with potato soup.
Loaded potato soup.
I made some of that last week. It's really good.
Well, yeah, it is good too. Yes. I'm like, huh?
Any incidents? I don't know if I want to go to Applebee's and try it now. Oh man. When Terry's fighting Johnny in the old Cobra Kai dojo, he knocks Johnny down and then says to Kreese, "You want to see some more?" Which is also what Terry said to Kreese when Mike Barnes was beating up Daniel in the same dojo in Karate Kid 3. "You want to see some more?" The title of the episode is Party Time, which, you know, there's a prom, there's a party at Stingray's, and Stingray comes out yelling, "Party Time!" But also, in Karate Kid 3, just before Kreese and Terry Silver fight Miyagi at the Cobra Kai dojo, they both bow to each other and say, "Party Time!"
Yeah.
So I think that was, like, the big one. And,
nice.
And then Miyagi kicks their asses. Maybe this is like a signifier that Silver's inner crazy is finally coming out. Maybe a bit of a stretch, but I feel like all the cool equipment that Terry Silver bought Cobra Kai is kind of a parallel to Rocky IV, where Ivan Drago had the Russian government bankrolling him and had all that expensive equipment and stuff. And
best
Rocky's out
best.
In the snow running with logs and stuff.
That's a good call. Because I thought the whole library scene was a lot like Rocky, where he turned out the lights and then was hunting him down one at a time, just like he did in the police headquarters scene in the movie Rambo. Oh, I'm sorry, it was Rambo.
Rambo, yeah, that's different.
Sorry, I got like, my Rocky
same,
and Rambo mixed
same
up.
Same actor. Yeah. Same actor, but Jesus. Different.
I'm like, did Rocky hunt people down one by one? I don't remember.
I was like,
that.
Damn, it's been a while, but I don't think I remember that.
That's awesome.
Better take it easy on the wine tonight. Jeez.
I have a little more. It's fun. It's also interesting that Cobra Kai seems to have their own individual uniforms, each one. Maybe I saw a couple repeats, but a lot of individuality. That was kind of weird, but cool, I guess.
Yeah.
A bunch of dancing. Tanner Buchanan, who plays Robbie, he used to enter and often win dance competitions as a kid. So he got show
he
off
some legit
of his
skills. Yeah, that's cool.
But there's a history of dancing in Karate Kid. Daniel danced with Allie at the Halloween party in his shower costume in Karate Kid. And later, Johnny and Allie danced at the country club with the whole spaghetti incident. Hey, is that why that album has that name? I don't know. In Karate Kid 2, Kumiko was a dancer, and she taught Daniel some, I guess, Okinawan dance moves. And they also did some 50 styles dancing at a club.
Oh, yeah.
Because Ralph Macchio was a dancer. He was on Dancing with the Stars. And then in Karate Kid 3, Daniel took Jessica dancing where he punched the guy in the face. And I read that one of the dance moves Robbie does with Tori is an exact shot replica of a move that Daniel did with Kumiko in Karate Kid 3, but I couldn't pick it out. And also earlier, I think a couple episodes ago, Sam saw Robbie's license and saw his middle name is Swayze, which now clearly seems like a Dirty Dancing reference.
That's
Robbie
hilarious.
Swayze Keen, and Ralph Macchio starred with Swayze in The Outsiders, which I still haven't seen, by the way. Should I watch that?
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, that's required reading.
You call yourself
in middle
an 80s
school,
insane.
I know.
80s
I'm a Ralph
kid
Macchio
you haven't
fan
seen.
Too.
Yeah.
And Matt Dillon. Daniel breaking Anthony's tablet kind of reminds me of something from Karate Kid. Anybody know what that is?
Oh gosh, I can picture it in my mind, but I can't put it into words.
It's a bit of a stretch, so
I can see it. I can see somebody's breaking something over
yeah,
me.
Was it yeah, Johnny that broke something?
Just break my radio.
No, oh, radio. Damn it. Yeah,
damn it.
God. I mean, I don't know if that I was suck. Intentional, but that's what it reminded me of. We find out that Miyagi held Anthony as a baby, and that Anthony kicked him in the face, and he laughed and said Anthony was going to be a handful. So already little LaRusso was kicking faces.
Daniel said it was the only time he ever saw Miyagi take one to the face. That's funny.
But in season one, we learned that Miyagi died November 15th, 2011, at 86 years old. I was trying to figure out what year we are in the show. For some reason, I thought it was 2018. The article that Dimitri was reading on Terry Silver was dated 2018, but it could have been an old article. I thought there was another instance of 2018, but then during the debate that
it
we
was
saw
the tweets.
When they picked, oh yeah, the tweets.
Tweets were dated 2018.
Well, I think maybe it was just the first two. So maybe he tweeted and then didn't tweet for a couple of years. Cause the other ones just said like 10 hours ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. The first two said, hello, how does this thing work? And then maybe there were just, you're right though. That's what made me think that. But now I think not because, or else there's a production error. Because in the debate, I think it was the new girl, Devin, who said, as of March 2019, further executions are blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess I'm just going to presume we're in 2021, which is when season four came out. And Anthony is probably around 14 as a middle schooler, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 13, 14. Mm-hmm.
So,
because they toured the high school saying they were going to go there next year.
So if it's 2021 and he's 14, that means when Miyagi died, he was around 4 years old. Ballpark.
Hey, they don't talk about the pandemic or any current events, do they?
Not
in this universe.
They're just
maybe it didn't happen in this universe.
Yeah, and I think a show needs to really decide whether they want to feature that or not. And I'm kind of glad they don't here. It's escapism. I don't want to have to
write
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got enough shows that talk about it.
Yeah. Silver tells Johnny to meet him at the corner of Magnolia and Lancashire. This is the actual location of the original Cobra Kai dojo from Karate Kid, which I loved
that was
seeing.
Cool. Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Super cool.
Had a lot of good memories and treated us well.
I don't know if it's actually the same place, but it looks the same. And I always kind of wish that that's where Johnny would have set up shop in the beginning of the series. It's more stark and ominous feeling, but maybe it's more realistic that it wouldn't, that same spot wouldn't happen to be available and that Johnny would just find whatever place he could. But anyway, I was glad to see it back. And I hope they do more there in the series.
Yeah.
Because it has a more of a evil vibe to me.
It does. Yeah.
You know? We learned it was a candle shop. It's now for sale. And then Terry Silver saying, after we win the All Valley, we're going to go back to our roots right here. I got my agents looking for other locations for when we expand. That was the same plan he had in Karate Kid 3. Win the All Valley, then open up a chain of Cobra Kai dojos. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting if that actually happens in the right. series. That would be something different, you know? And then the last one I have is Miguel goes over to Johnny's and he's all beat up and drunk. And he says, come inside, come inside. That's like in Karate Kid when Daniel went over to Miyagi's and he was drunk and he was kind of sadly celebrating his deceased wife's and his anniversary.
I remember that. And
there was even some pan flute music in the Johnny scene, and Miguel helping him into bed is like Daniel helping Miyagi into bed.
Really? There was pan flute music. I didn't catch that. How cool.
In a Johnny scene. Doo, doo,
doo, yeah.
Come inside. That's come nice. Inside. Nice to tie it all together.
Yeah.
That's cool. I love your callbacks. Because I missed most of them.
It's a good week.
Yeah,
if you didn't like say them, too. I would be like, what?
You know,
I'm not good at that kind of stuff.
For Boba Fett and Mandalorian, I got to go watch YouTube videos and look at articles. For Karate Kid, I barely need to do any of that.
I had a feeling this is one you didn't have to like do a whole lot of research. Like you could probably recall so many of those from memory.
Almost I had all no doubt. Them, yeah.
That's why this one's your favorite podcast, huh? It's like easy.
I just love it. Yeah. I love it. Love
That's it. Great.
Talking about you guys and it's a fun show, everything. Okay. Any notes, Rich?
Well, I have predictions since awesome. We're coming up on the last two episodes. I thought it would be fun to make some predictions and, you know, we can all laugh at them because they're probably wrong. But here it goes. Stingray.
Never know.
Is either dead or seriously injured. Right. And Silver, I think, is going to go to jail.
Ooh.
Which leaves Kreese by himself to coach Cobra Kai at the tournament, and he's going to end up falling back on his MO of strike first, no mercy, and dirty fighting, just like in the first couple of films, right? Daniel has been ignoring Miyagi-Do, dealing with all the other stuff, right? Sam is a complete emotional mess now. Hawk, he's just not into it anymore. And wallowing in self-pity. So I think at the tournament, Sam tries the flying tornado kick, but it fails. And as a result, Miyagi-Do loses the tournament. That's my prediction.
Ooh.
So Miguel, he's going to run away. He's going to seek out his biological dad. And Johnny's going to feel terrible about all this, right? So he's going to go looking for him. And I think Johnny's going to miss the tournament altogether.
Oh,
and
my.
The Eagle Fang kids are just going to have to sit it out. And I was thinking that because, like, up to this point, we hear a lot about Cobra Kai talking Miyagi-Do, Miyagi-Do talking about Cobra Kai, but you don't really hear either of them talk about Eagle Fang. Mm-hmm. You know, they're kind of like the third wheel in all of this.
Well, Silver did say, if I beat up Johnny, that will mess with the head of his champion, Miguel. So,
yeah. But that's all he's got is that one guy, Miguel.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think they see him as too much of a threat. But then, who else? Robbie and Tori. I think Robbie and Tori come out the winners. They win the tournament. They're the all-new All-Valley champs. They end up getting a little place on the outskirts of town. They're doing just fine. They have a couple of kids. They open up a dealership. Become the new Daniel and Amanda. Those are my predictions, so... If I get any of them right, I want everybody to know I haven't seen the last two episodes, so it would be a miracle.
you know, this show, you just never know.
Well, what
I do think Miguel's dad is going to come up sometime, whether it's next season or in a future season. I feel like they just keep dropping it.
Yeah.
Because
maybe
like
Johnny's
even his,
too.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, his got brought up too a couple times and kept seeing like flashbacks and references and
turn it into a road trip.
Oh yeah, the search for our fathers.
Maybe they're brothers.
But yeah, even like Miguel's grandmother was like, oh, he just looks so handsome, looks more and more like his father every day. And
a lot of talk about dads.
Yeah.
So. But I was thinking, as my predictions are all from things I don't want to see happen, which is kind of what this show does, right? So I'm just like,
they flip the script a little. You never know.
Everything was on track. Each dojo was at their peak performance. They were kind of undistracted there for a while. They were going to go to the tournament in best form, you know, but after these two episodes, everything's in chaos. So I don't know
what
the hell's gonna
happen. In every movie. At the end, things look the darkest before the end, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's kind of like the playbook of how to write a movie. You make it feel like, okay, they're starting to overcome their obstacles, and then something comes in and pulls the rug out just before the end. So they really have a lot to overcome.
That's true.
I feel like that's what's happening here. I would guess that all three dojos are going to compete, but I think of the predictions that you just gave, the one I think most could be right is that Tori and Robbie could come out ahead.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Plus, they kind of need a win. I like the idea of Tori and Robbie. You know, maybe having a romantic relationship will take some of the edge off of them because they're so violent and angry all the time.
Yeah. Robbie already this season, I like him so much better.
He's
trying to protect Kenny and just seems more even keeled.
He seems more level headed than.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem as angry. Or he's channeling appropriately, maybe if he is, but he's not outwardly. He's
not
fairly level headed.
Reactive.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Anything else, Rich?
No. That's it.
Okay. Rima?
Well, I don't know that I got to say my number one, so I'll just have it in my notes.
I'm sorry.
And that was the Johnny and Terry Silver showdown, which I think you mentioned earlier, Rich. But I thought it was interesting to finally like see these two like go at it. You know, he's finally got they finally have a reason to kind of be at each other's throats a little bit. So I thought it was kind of interesting because, you know, Johnny was not in Karate Kid 3. So I thought it was a hell of a fight. I thought it was cool. It was hard to see Johnny get the hell beat out of him, though. I didn't like that. But, you know, it was kind of cool. Terry, you know, he's an experienced fighter. So, you know, I think Johnny held his own, but obviously Terry definitely had one up on him. But I like seeing both of them fight. I thought it was really great.
I liked how Terry Silver actually, to me, he seemed pretty dominant and to the point where he was like, woo, let me see what you got.
Back.
I mean, he took the hits like nothing. Like Johnny was wailing on him. He was kind of laughing and then he kicked him right in the chest. And I was like, holy shit, this dude is tough. He can take he might be an old guy, but it was funny. Like when Johnny's like old man, what do you say? Old man can still can punch or kick. Or
kick,
I don't remember what he said.
Yeah.
Because like, I don't know what that means, but yeah, I thought that was great. And, you know, I was so angry with Kreese. He totally took advantage of Terry. He's a traumatized Vietnam War veteran, and he intentionally manipulated him into going back into his worst habits out of misplaced loyalty. And I was, you know, it was hard to see that.
Misplaced?
You know, misplaced loyalty, I think. Yeah.
He saved his life.
Yeah, but how long is he going to make him pay for it for, like, you know, I mean, how far do you carry that loyalty, you know, with what Kreese is asking you to do? It's one thing to be a loyal friend and always be there for someone, but to kind of do the things that Kreese is wanting him to do and how he's treating him,
totally,
you know, I don't think that's right. And I mean, loyal that was
to
hard
a point,
to,
yeah.
Yeah, loyal to a point, not to go into the, you know, wrong. You know, doing things wrong. I mean, you're talking about kids and stuff, and hurting people.
I want you
people.
To kill this man.
Yeah, and hurting people. But that was hard to watch. You know, I've got a family member who's a Vietnam War veteran who suffers from PTSD. And I mean, that was a real thing. And that was, I thought, a really, really low point for Kreese to, you know, use that and manipulate Terry Silver. And, you know, if you told me at the beginning of the season, you know, when we knew Terry Silver was coming back, that I would sympathize with him. I don't know that I would have believed it, but that's what makes this show really great is it fleshes out and humanizes characters that, you know, could really only be used as like a cardboard cutout. You know, if you think of Terry Silver from Karate Kid 3 and then you see him in, you know, this season, and it's such a vast difference. And I love how they've really fleshed him out. And I'm like, wow, I have sympathy for Terry Silver. I never thought I'd say that.
Me too. I like it, but I'm glad that he's back to being crazier.
Oh, sure.
I wouldn't I would have found it unsatisfying if he just stayed Mr. Cool the whole season.
Or at least get a little bit of it, huh?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't like what Kreese is doing to him, but I think it's natural that, you know, we're kind of seeing it come out of him and how he's kind of spiraling.
Well, it's that difference between, like, caring about the character as if they're a real person and what feelings come along with that versus watching a show and wanting the most dramatic, interesting stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see him, like, go nuts, but if I was his friend, I'd be, like, not wanting to see any of that for him.
Totally. Yeah. I feel like I'm kind of teetering on both. I kind of feel like I know these guys so well. Yeah. I feel so close to them. Like, I feel like, no, don't mess with Terry. He's my buddy. I like him. He's a cool dude now, and he's trying to live his life and, you know, be a good guy, and Kreese won't let him. I liked the new girl that we got, Devon Lee. I'm always happy to see an addition of new female characters on this show, especially when they can kick some ass. I was kind of jealous that she got to line all the balls. Boys up and kick them in the balls. I can't imagine.
That was a hard scene to watch.
That is rough. Like, that hard? You could rupture a testicle. Oh, and then he's like, oh, they are wearing cups, right?
Those kids aren't having kids.
Yeah, ruin the McNuggets. I was kind of highly doubting that Anthony actually knew who Jackson Pollock was. Thought that was a little unbelievable, but whatever. I was kind of surprised that he was also the first person, to think about hiring someone to clean the cars when he did the TaskRabbit. I was like, I can't believe he's the first one to think of that. I thought it was funny when the principal who said, you know, we still aren't sure how they got the milk in the locker when he was showing Daniel and Amanda. Because I thought it was funny because I think this show, another thing that makes it so fun is they're so self-aware. So I know I was thinking that, you know, I was like, how the hell did they get that milk in the locker? And then they kind of address like, well, we don't know how they did that.
Yeah.
I like seeing Sam show up at Eagle Fang training. I think, you know, I know she's been a bit of a pill, and Rich, you've mentioned it a couple times, and I agree with you. She's definitely a pill this season, but I think she's smart. I think some of the methods that Johnny's doing, because he does know Cobra Kai so well, and he knows Kreese, like he studied under Kreese for how many years, and he's, you know, he's a little rough around the edges, but I think what he's trying to teach them is right. He's like, they're going to cheat, and they're going to, you know, they're going to do what they can to win, and they're going to play dirty, so you have to like know what to expect. So I think that what he's trying to do is the right thing, and I like that Sam's kind of showing up for that. I thought the choice of the song was really cool there at the prom when I don't know the name of the song. I think they mentioned like there was a song from The Weeknd in there, and I'm not very up on newer songs because I'm kind of stuck in you know, my high school days. But when Robbie and Tori were striding in, the lyrics said pick a side, and then you see Robbie, Tori, Miguel, and all four of them in the same frame, and it said dark and light. So it's like pick a side, dark and light. And I was like, that's nice. Clever, good choice of song. And kind of how they framed it was, you know, just kind of fitting for, you know, this whole rivalry between the four of them,
right?
So yeah, that's all I got. We've covered everything else.
Good Lord, how big were the birds that took a dump on Daniel's car? Jesus,
no kidding, in one night.
Yeah, aggressive birds around there. I think he
feeds feeding those birds.
Because it's really convenient given his teaching methods. You know, crap all over the fence in the house, please, and the car.
Yep.
Yeah. I forgot to cover these, especially for you, son.
He's probably got a big old bird feeder right outside the fence or something.
Yeah.
Keeping a bunch
soap
of birds
on
around.
Crap off.
I was wondering what Robbie does all day long, because he told Kenny, hey man, I got kicked out of school and landed up in juvie. And I'm like, yeah, he did. What do you do all day long, dude? Does he work?
Skates.
Yeah, skates? That's a good question. You've seen him skating.
Practice his dance moves.
Yep. I don't know.
Does he have a job? Maybe he works kids' birthday parties.
I like all the movies that Devon Lee listed off too, and
Bloodsport.
Johnny was like, did you do your prep work or something to that effect? And she's like, yeah, Delta Force, Billy Jack, The Octagon, Lady Dragon. He's like, those were awesome, right?
All good. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Daniel mentioned that Anthony, you know, you clean the cars, I'll help mom at the dealership. I'm like, okay, good. At least he got some lip service that he still has that job. Even though he really hasn't had much to do with it.
Yeah.
Johnny said Eagle Fang Karate doesn't believe in fighting dirty. I think that's like the clearest difference between Eagle Fang and Cobra Kai. I think otherwise they're pretty close, but no dirty fighting.
Do we know what the flying tornado kick is yet?
I don't know what that is. They just brought out
this season.
I mean, I would imagine it's like Chun-Li in Street Fighter.
helicopter.
Yeah, helicopter. That would be amazing to see Amanda do that. Upside down.
Right.
Oh, boy.
There's a part of me that's like, oh, Leah, you're sending mixed signals to Anthony, but she's not really. She just likes him and wants to hang out. But then she's like, oh, yeah, Kenny's going to be there, too. And I'm like wondering, OK, are you kind of clueless that he likes you, or are you just kind of dipping a toe in, but you want to be noncommittal and just see how it goes? Or are you just not interested in him at all? You know, it's hard to tell with girls sometimes.
I don't know. Rima?
You know, I honestly think she just thinks that he wants to be friends. And that's what she's, you know, I don't know if that's all she's interested in, but I think she's just like, you know, hey, yeah, you know, we used to be good friends, you know, in elementary school. And, you know, as happens as girls and boys get older, which happened to me, I hung out with boys way more in elementary school. Like, I was a tomboy. I was playing football, basketball, you know, hanging out with the boys at recess, not doing the girly things at all. And then, you know, and then as we got older, like closer to we didn't have middle school, it was junior high, but when we got to like that age, you could kind of see that separation, and the boys didn't really want to hang out with me anymore. So, and you know, so there was, you know, that kind of division. So, you know, when she was kind of talking about, you know, hey, we used to be really good friends then, and you know, we haven't hung out much, we should do that. I just think either she just doesn't really know. I don't think she's intentionally.
So when she says like, yeah, we, you know, it'd be good to be friends. And when he goes, yeah, friends, I think she just does it. That doesn't.
I don't think she picked up on it.
Sarcasm. Not everyone picks up on sarcasm when you're 13.
No. And if she's not crushing on him herself, like, she's not going to quite pick up on it. So I just really don't think she sees him as anything other.
But I think my sense is it's not that she wouldn't necessarily ever be interested. It just hasn't really occurred to her.
Right. I don't think it's occurred to her yet. Yeah.
It hurts, though, as a guy to watch that.
Sure.
Kreese and Terry are drinking Vietnamese beer. I kind of like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not glad that Stingray is back, but I do admire the showrunner's philosophy of we can use anything. Nothing is wasted.
Yeah, I couldn't drum up very much sympathy for Stingray. Even when Kreese told him he wasn't welcome in the dojo, that was pretty harsh, but I still didn't really feel that bad. But I did feel a little bit bad when Terry murdered him at the end of episode 8.
Yeah.
I didn't feel bad about anything.
Like, when he's kicking his neighbor, I'm like, you're going to get sued and end up back in jail.
Yeah.
And when people are saying, you don't have any friends your own age, I'm like, yeah, they have a point.
I mean, it's kind of a problem. I don't remember if we, when Stingray was in the last season that he was in before he got in trouble, how old he's supposed to be, but clearly he's over 18 and really has zero business hanging around with all these underage kids. It's just weird and it's creepy. I don't know. It makes me very uncomfortable.
And the writers know it's a thing, so they're trying to make jokes out of it, but it's like, anyone who dogs on him for that has a point. But I thought it was, like I said, probably the most disturbing scene.
It was
in the whole
that
series,
was
except for
watch.
Maybe like the Vietnam stuff, but other than that, seeing him beat the crap out of this kid.
I just realized that Terry was drunk, huh?
Yeah. He was like drinking a bourbon bottle or something.
God,
yeah.
I'm so stupid. Jesus. Well,
I don't. I want. Do you guys think he's
stuff? Doesn't it?
Back,
yeah.
I mean, I think he drank wine, but he seemed to be hitting that bottle pretty hard. And yeah, I don't. He was drunk. I mean, we know he kicked drugs, but do you guys think maybe he's back on coke, or will he get back on coke?
I hope so.
See him?
Oh, no, he was too down. See, I thought he was depressed. I thought he was just depressed and down, but then I realized just now, it's like, oh wait, he was drunk.
Yeah, he was acting pretty drunk. I thought it was cool that he loaned Robbie and Tori a nice car for prom. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a rich friend. That's awesome.
Mom didn't think it was cool.
No, I know, mom didn't like it.
Which I found it a little hard to believe given what we've seen with her and her the men that she hangs out with. But then well, again, she's trying
now.
To go on the straight and narrow, yeah, and be more, maybe more, lead a more respectable life. I don't know.
I like her point, too, that if there's one kind of person she knows, it's a wealthy guy who wants something.
I mean, I think yeah. she has a point. I'm sure she was, right? You know, I think she had many years where she was drinking.
So she wants a change, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like red flag.
I loved seeing the kids have a good time at the dance and seeing Tori and Robbie fall for each other and they're slow dancing and Tori says, are they still watching? And Robbie goes, I don't care. And she goes, me neither. And then at the end when they're making out in the cool car next to the carnival ride with the lights and the nice music and she goes, I guess we should get our money's worth. It was all just very sweet. And it's nice yeah. that the show can make us feel that way about characters who at one point we may not have liked as much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I felt happy for them. It's good to see them at least finding some sort of attraction. I don't want to say love, you know, joy. Yet, but you know, yeah,
yeah,
some, yeah, yeah, joy. There you go. Yeah. Well, some both... joy in their miserable for shit lives, you know.
Yeah, I agree because they've had some really hard lives, and mm-hmm. you know, I know they've Robbie's done bad things, and Tori still does bad things, but you know, I still identify with her to a point, and yeah, it's kind of nice to see have a bright spot there at the dance and.
Johnny's like had a belong. Tough life too. It didn't really occur to me until this episode, but his father left, his mm-hmm. stepfather was a dick, and then he had Crease, and that's
his father figure. Yeah.
Yeah. And now he doesn't want to make those same mistakes he feels like he kind of did with Robbie.
He's divorced. But his son hates him.
Hates like, him. Yeah.
That's a good word.
Mm-hmm.
I got a few more. I forget why Yasmin fell for Dimitri.
His Pac-Man suit, yes, man.
What the hell's with Dimitri?
Last season.
Hey, she flew all the way in from Australia just to see him. Yeah. What's that guy packing?
Because we saw her fall for him last season, but I can't remember what it was about. Or maybe it was season two. I can't remember. I think it's fun, but I don't really buy it. It's pretty ridiculous.
And it just adds
and
to
where that happened.
Hawk's depression, too. It's like every time we see him, he's like having there to watch that. It's like,
I know.
I don't know. Like, I can see it.
At one point, you see Hawk, and then the camera pans over, and she's like on top of him, practically going for it. Like,
he's like, I'm sorry, did you say something, dude?
Oh, man.
I don't know. I don't know. I can see it. I can see it. I know that they're. Personally speaking, you know, I think I've mostly been attracted to a certain type most of my life, but then, you know, you think that, oh, well, I've never be attracted to that kind of guy or whatever, that, you know, different type, but then something kind of changes or you see something a little bit different, your perspective changes, or
a binary
whatever,
brother comes along and
you know, and you're just kind of like, wow, I had, you know, if only I'd known sooner or something, you know, I can kind of see that. Yeah. And you know, there's the whole Revenge of the Nerds thing, too. You know, the pretty girl ends up with, you know, one of the nerds, you know, at the end. It happens.
That's true. Nerds and
that's
geeks
a,
are
that's
in
a
right
fictitious
now.
Fictitious movie.
So is Cobra Kai.
Exactly.
Yeah. Remember, that's in this point. Universe, there's no police and anybody can love anybody.
Well, I'm happy for Dimitri. And I'm glad to see, like, Yasmin and Moon. I wish... You know, they used to have bigger parts, but they were kind of the bad guys. So now they're just like cool girls. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny, as we mentioned, makes comments about Terry's age, ancient piece of shit. But Thomas Ian Griffith is only 3 years older than William Zabka. And mm-hmm. Ralph Macchio is 4 years older than William Zabka.
Dude's drinking from the fountain of youth, I swear.
And then the last thing I had is... I can't remember if I missed something or what, but you know that scroll that Anthony pulls out.
Yeah.
And Daniel says, that's a technique I hope none of us will ever need to use. Is that new?
Isn't that what he got from
That was the one where he makes
Chosen.
It makes your limbs go numb.
Is that the...
Like he did on Johnny.
Yeah, what he did to Johnny, the whole...
Really?
Yeah, that was the move where you do your thing and then the guy can't move. Your opponent can't move.
Okay, because the way that it was shown here, it sounded like it was something. Because he said, that's a technique I hope none of us will ever need to use. And he just used it. That technique that you guys were talking about a couple episodes ago. So I kind of think maybe it's a different
one. It might be
one.
Something different. I don't know. Yeah. But I think he got it from Chosen.
Maybe it's time for a Karate Kid 2 revisit.
Yep.
All right. Anything else about these two?
Nope.
Nope. Bring on the final two.
Yeah.
Yay.
Let's go.
All right.
Yep. Bye.
We'll take a little break. We have some listener feedback. Do you have news?
I have one quick thing.
Okay. We'll be right back.
We'll return after these messages.
All right, we are back. It's time for the news.
All right, just a quick small item this week, and this is from Deadline. So Martin Cove, who we all know as Sensei John Kreese, is hosting his own Cobra Kai podcast. Yeah.
Competition.
I know. I was like, what?
We quit.
Yep. Hang it up. We're done. So he has teamed up with Live One owned audio platform Podcast One to launch Cobra Coves. The series, which launches on, it's already launched as of today's date. It launched on January 20th. So we'll see Martin Cove, who's of course starred in Karate Kid as well as Cobra Kai. He will host the podcast with his kids, fraternal twins, Jesse and Rachel. They will recap episodes of Cobra Kai.
Mm.
Cool. I wonder if he's going to talk about season one when he wasn't in it.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. But it said that...
Probably about how he should have been in it, right?
Should have been right, there.
Right. This season would have been much better.
Yeah, so he's going to share stories from the original trilogy of movies as well as give insight into their own family. They'll also feature a range of guests, including actors, athletes, musicians, psychology experts, as they discuss Cobra Kai, Hollywood, pop culture, spirituality, mental health, and bullying. So.
Cool.
Game over, man. Game over.
Thought that was kind of cool. So that's all that I have for this week.
I mean, there, I don't know. there's already a few to several other Cobra Kai podcasts, and there's at least one, maybe more, that are really hardcore into it. And one of the podcast, I think
Harder
it's Cobra Kai Companion, has interviewed every single actor on the show, all of the main ones and the bit ones.
Oh, hell.
The writers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I think they do it all year long. They're kind of like I am with Walking Dead, you know, just really get into it. So more power to them. I haven't even listened to them, but I kind of want to now. But anyway, we have our fun in our little corner over here.
I'm having a good time. I'm digging it with you fellas.
Make it last 5 weeks. That's what
I was thinking about it. I don't know if anybody would be interested in this, but from the time that we watched the first two episodes to tonight, when we're going to get to watch the last two, is actually only a 3.5 week. Difference in between to watch 10. Not too bad.
It's not too bad.
All right. So we didn't get any comments this week. Raymond and Rich were thinking a lot of you guys all watched it and you're like, you're still talking about that show. Hopefully next week when we talk about the last two, we'll get more, but we did get a couple of calls. So here's Steve Brown.
Oh, House Podcastica. This is Steve. And this is for Cobra Kai episode 7 and 8, getting close to the end. Anthony sounds like he's got some game in him.
No, he's going to go into his mom's bedroom and see something that tells him Johnny was there. That little look from Kreese when Terry Silver says we all have a weakness.
Another Bloodsport reference. And I love the Cynthia Rothrock reference. That's great.
It's all that coming that Kenny was going to take him down when he acted like he was hurt.
Ooh, Kenny's got some skills.
Oh, they are going to find out the truth now about Anthony. Finally, somebody asked my question about the milk. Oh, somewhere in there he said minefield.
Title of the episode, mic drop.
And now on to episode 8.
Well, the return of, what's this guy's name? The security guard from the school?
There it is, another mention of Miguel's father. We gotta find out who this guy is this season, right?
I guess I forgot about Dimitri having a girl.
That's cool. I actually see what the flying tornado kick was, right? So I'm sure it's gonna come in play later. I'm gonna say party time together like they did in Karate Kid 3.
I'm not sure I get what they're doing with Terry Silver's character here. I know you guys have talked about it before. He's kind of all over the place.
In one second, he's now he's beating up Johnny and having a fight with...
Okay, Stingray said the title of the episode. Mic drop.
And I believe that would be theft and assault, Stingray, on your neighbor.
Oh, Sam, it was supposed to wait for the tournament.
Johnny singing a song from Top Gun, playing with the boys.
Oh, Terry's getting drunk. He's complaining about Kreese. We're going to get it. We're going to get it. The big time Terry Silver.
Oh, I don't know if I wanted it that bad. I mean, Stingray's kind of a jerk, but he didn't need that. All right. Do you guys talk about this one?
That's kind of how I felt. Like, oh, yeah. I thought, oh, man.
Oh, damn. That was harsh.
Did you murder him?
It's over the top.
He may not be a teenager, but he still seems like a kid.
Still a human being. Baby.
And here is Mike Caruso.
Hey guys, it's Mike again from Cincinnati, and man, this week was really hard to figure out exactly what I wanted to say, but I guess I have a story. I had to drop my girlfriend off for an hour-long appointment, a weekly hour-long appointment on Wednesday night, and I decided that would be when I would watch the eighth episode of the season. So I dropped her off, and then I went to a bar right down the street, popped in my wireless headphones, and sat at the bar with a drink, and proceeded to watch this episode. And it's a really emotional episode, I guess. I found myself like reacting and then like kind of looking around my shoulder, like to see who was there or to see if anybody was watching me, particularly when Johnny mistakenly, drunkenly, called Miguel Robbie. That one really got me in the heartstrings, and it had to have been a funny sight, anybody watching me, a bartender or something. So I guess I just will tell you that story instead of discuss the episode. So anyway, can't wait to hear what you guys have to say about it, and go Bengals!
Don't worry, Mike.
Balling at the bar.
I think anyone who's seen that episode would not judge you at all for if you got a little emotional.
Yeah. Next time, just if you see anyone's looking at you, just go Cobra Kai, and they'll be
Cobra
like,
Kai. Okay. Right, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Got you, dude. Yep.
Bartender's like, you all right, buddy?
Johnny said, I love you, Robbie.
Yeah. All right, pal. You're cut off.
You had enough.
All right, that is it. That's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah. If you want to write in for the finale, the last two episodes, or record a message and send it in, that'd be awesome. Or just, you know, write in and tell us your thoughts about the whole series, the season, or, you know, our coverage, whatever you want to talk about for Cobra Kai, because we're not going to be talking about Cobra Kai for a while after this. Any of that, you can email us at talk@podcastica.com.
We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/podcastica.
And be sure to check out the other great podcasts at podcastica.com.
Do we know when season 5 is coming out?
Nope, no announcement yet.
Nothing?
Nope. They wrapped the filming, but no word on when they would release it. They always wait.
I would guess
Netflix
next
waits.
December.
Yeah.
1 year later. But
they never seem like in a hurry to release anything anymore, do they?
No.
Next episode will be Cobra Kai Season 4, Episodes 9 and 10, The Fall and The Rise, which maybe... Woo-hoo. Is it the fall? Who would fall? Maybe somebody's going to fall and then someone's going to rise. That's my prediction.
They're all going to fall. They're all going to rise.
I don't know. I'm excited to find out, though.
I know. I hope Terry Silver sticks around.
Yeah. I want him to be in next season, too. Yeah. I don't want him to go away at all.
And here's my prediction. Mike Barnes. We're going to see him in episode 10.
shows up at the last minute.
Yeah.
And wins the tournament.
With one punch.
I don't know. I don't think we're going to see Mike Barnes yet. I think we're going to see him in season 5.
All right. How much do you want to bet a drink?
Yeah.
Just for fun?
Yeah. Funsies.
Okay. I'll drink to that.
I like Long Island iced teas. Okay.
Okay. Ooh, I do too.
All right. That is our show.
Thanks for listening.
It's party time! Woo!